Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Are you part of the social media universe that was outraged by a photo of spikes embedded in the pavement outside a London apartment house in order to deter homeless people from sleeping in the alcove by the door? That photo, as some of you know, has generated such a reaction online that not only did the mayor of London weigh in, but so did the mayor of Montreal and people around the world who started noticing the other little discouragements to unwanted groups of people built into the landscape in their cities. And it sparked a new conversation over public space, last heard perhaps during the Occupy demonstrations. Robert Rosenberger, an assistant professor of philosophy in the School of Public Policy at Georgia Tech, wrote about this in The Atlantic last week. The article is being widely shared, and he joins us now to continue that conversation. Welcome back to WNYC, Robert Rosenberger. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
And listeners, of course, we've posted this photo that people are passing around on our page. You can see it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But for those who haven't seen it, can you describe the spikes and describe the scene?
Yeah. No, it's been a fascinating story. So earlier this month, sort of a passerby was walking by the building and took a picture of these spikes. They're these little spikes sticking up out of the concrete. Apparently they were new at the time. Posted it on Twitter, and, you know, the picture went viral. People started passing it around, and there was outrage across Twitter, and then there was a public outcry that followed. There were protests. Like you had mentioned, the mayors of London and then Montreal, there were some spikes then found in the downtown of Montreal. Those mayors were making outraged tweets as well. And then from there, there was a online petition where I think it was more than 250,000 people had signed this online petition in order to pressure the apartment building and some other places in London to remove these spikes, and then that ended up happening. The apartment building in London sort of paved over the spikes, and there was a set of spikes outside of a supermarket in London that the supermarket claimed actually didn't have anything to do with homelessness, but those spikes were vandalized by protesters, and then they were removed. So it's been an interesting story to watch this unfold.
So listeners, anyone want to weigh in on whether spikes in the ground to deter sleeping cross a line? Are you homeless? Have you ever been homeless? Have you come up upon this or other elements of urban design designed to make you uncomfortable so you wouldn't stay for too long in any single place? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or listeners, maybe you feel that your neighborhood has too many people who are homeless hanging around, and you support this kind of thing. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I guess that's just the latest bit of urban engineering aimed at discouraging sleeping. Public benches have been fashioned to discourage lying down. There's nothing new in that. We have that in the subway system in New York City. In fact, the Daily News this week published a data analysis of crime on the subways, and they call 3 p.m. the prime time for crime. It's when schools let out. So they're discouraging groups of teenagers with, you know, other constructed design, piped in classical music, which they don't like, or high-pitched tones that only young ears can discern. So there are all these examples of this, right?
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's one of the things I've found really interesting about the story. You have so much outrage about these spikes, but there's actually so many of these technologies around, especially ones to deter homeless people from being in public places. Like you mentioned, the benches are my favorite example, ones that are designed so that you can sit on them like they're designed to do, but you can't lay across them to go sleep on them.
Right.
And these things are around. They're just not as obvious. There was something about how obvious the spikes were and tapped into this, these feelings that people have about, you know, what it means to be homeless and how we should treat them. And I'm wondering if those feelings are going to spill over into less obvious technologies and less obvious policies, you know, city policies and ordinances designed to sort of harass homeless people and keep them out of popular spaces.
You know where else you see spikes? On buildings' windowsills to discourage pigeons. And I wonder if that's part of the outrage, that human beings are being treated like public health hazards or pests.
Yeah, that's right. That has certainly been part of it, right? That there's something specifically inhumane about the spikes. And I wonder if it will be the case that that outrage will translate, right? I mean, there is something inhumane about shooing away the homeless the way we would shoo away pigeons. But there is a way in which the public policies and other public technologies end up having the same effect.
Josh in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Sure.
I really think that we need to address the root causes of homelessness rather than trying to deter homeless people from sleeping on the street, and realize the fact that a great deal of homeless people are mentally ill, and providing those mental health services within municipalities in our state and our country to address that, address, again, the root causes of homelessness.
Do they necessarily run at cross purposes, though? Could they not address those root causes and provide a decent level of services, but still not make it easy for people to sleep or congregate where they become a public nuisance?
Are you asking me or are you asking the caller?
Well, I was asking the caller, but Robert, go ahead.
Okay, please. I've heard this argument, right, that the spikes, for example, are there. Actually, they're there because they're compassionate. They're not dehumanizing. They're compassionate because they're forcing the homeless not to sleep on the street, and that somehow the spikes will poke the homeless into the direction of help, or something
so to
like
speak.
That.
In fact, I think we have a caller on that point. Nathan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Pro spike, right?
I would say so, but not out of any sort of callousness or out of any cruelty. I just wanted to make the comment that if you are homeless and if you encounter the homeless on a frequent basis, the last thing you want to do for the homeless is to make them comfortable in their homelessness. And that might very well be the motivating factor in precisely doing that, finding help and finding a way or an avenue out of homelessness.
So Robert Rosenberg and Nathan, forgive me for keeping it short, but our time is short. Is it compassion by other means?
I have problems with this. I mean, it's one of those positions where we're on the same side. We have the same goals, but we disagree about strategy. What I'm afraid of is that those sort of homeless deterrent technologies like the spikes or the benches or some of those policies, what they'll end up doing is forcing people further into the shadows and further into the margins. So rather than pushing them to get help, rather than making it less comfortable for them to live on the streets and encouraging them to get help, I think it will just make them even more invisible, and you'll have even less support from the public for policies and for organizations that are out there to help the homeless.
If they're not in your face, if they're not in your way, then they're going to be politically even more powerless, you're arguing. But Whitney in Warren, New Jersey, wants to come back at you. Whitney, you're on WNYC. Hello. Whitney, you there? Whitney. Okay, Whitney told our screener that if he had homeless people in front of his building, he would want spikes. So how close to home are you willing to allow this for yourself? What if homeless people were sleeping in front of your house?
Well, I mean, this is the tricky question. I think the first caller was putting his finger right on this. I mean, there is a way in which if you're, say, a small business or a homeowner or something like that, and homeless are hurting your business because people are aggressively panhandling and driving your customers away or something, there's a way in which you are a victim of this large-scale public problem as well. So I do sympathize with some of those sentiments, but I think that the first caller is right, that the appropriate response isn't to ultimately, at least in terms of public policy and the policies of, say, large-scale businesses and landowners and things like that, the appropriate response isn't to further push these people away and hide the problem, but it's to do our best to address the root causes, as hard and as intransigent as those problems are.
Robert Rosenberger, philosophy professor in the School of Public Policy at Georgia Tech, wrote about the spikes as urban design to discourage homeless people from sleeping in certain places, wrote about it in The Atlantic last week. And we have a link on our page to the photo that has sparked so much outrage online at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrshow. Robert, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much, Brian.